I would like to call to order this 1,403rd meeting of the Board of Directors to order. I would ask for a certification of the January 22nd, 2015 executive session. Mr. Downing?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I vote the board certified to the best of each member's knowledge that no individual member dissents that at today's board executive session concluded only such matters are authorized.
And only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. So moved.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? I would ask for a motion for the approval of the agenda.
Moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Approval of minutes for the meeting of December the 18th, January the 8th, December the 4th, and December the 18th. Assuming that you've all read all of the minutes, I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes. Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Next is public comment. I would ask for Denise Rucker Prep, ANC 6B10, come to the podium. Good morning.
Good morning.
Afternoon, I'm sorry.
Regularly enter the metro station every morning. We are very concerned about security at our station. If there are problems at LaFont, there could be problems at Stadium Armory. I am not willing to have my constituents continue to be at risk. Now, I reference continuing to be at risk because I was very surprised by the recommendation of security exercise. Pursuant to Public Law 110-5-3, the implementing recommendations of the 9/11 Commission Act that was signed in the summer of 2007, all mass transit stations around the nation are required to complete mass transit security plans. These security plans are supposed to be reviewed by the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Transportation. I know this because I wrote that link 7 years ago when I was in the House Homeland Security. So I'm a bit puzzled now that I'm an ANC commissioner to find out that one of your new standards is to implement security exercises. Now, these exercises were required by law 7 years ago, so I'm just scratching my head of saying, why is it taking so long? When you do those exercises, I'd like to remind you of a requirement that we put into law as part of that. That was neighborhood input. You are required by federal law when security exercises are completed to bring in the neighbors. Neighbors, in my case, happen to be the men and women and their families who live next to your facility. So my request is that, A, you conduct your security exercise at Stadium Armory Metro Stop, and B, when doing so, you bring in the neighbors, because we're going to be the first ones involved.
Thank you very much. Next is Michael Sindrum.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Dolan, my point. 2 minutes. 3 minutes. 3 months. 3 minutes, please. The sales office. I had copies made for all of you. The clerk there, Ms. Jackson, she loves me. I think. You can clearly see we've got a value remaining of $390. And she'll cross it out, add another fare, $270, to diminish the car. Would any one of you want to be cheated? Why should I? Why should we the people? And on the second card, the remaining value is just crossed out. months. This is indefensible. And I brought this time and time and time again. When did this tell you? You're here. This is not good, right? Again today, prior to you guys meeting, she wrote another, you know, the facing. This is not good, right? And the fair cards, even though there are problems, all right, they need to be kept in place. We're a tourist town. A lot of folks don't want another credit card. And I understand in the vending machine that when they have repair, they use used parts. That'd be like, Madam Commissioner, you go into a repair shop with your car and they use parts to repair your car. You wouldn't stand for it. So these machines are already old. They keep breaking down because they keep repairing them with obsolete used parts. That's not good. And I know that'd be a fine. The station manager, Tacoma Park, a D. McNeil, real obnoxious character, constantly smoking, monitors the paper receptacle. And by the way, what happens with those papers? Recyclables are bringing in money. They generate funds for you all. I've never seen that on any report. Talking about newspapers, we put stuff in those. They're recyclable. It's metal, glass, paper, right? The trolley folly needs to be taken off the plate. There's a lot of money in that. That can best be used, you know, for our rail and bus. A few more comments and I'll wrap up. There was a comment made in the Express of this melee that happened at the Penn Quarter, and I quote, Metro had been warned 4 days earlier that D.C. firefighters' radios were not working in an exact spot. I brought this to your attention time and time again. In fact, right across the street, the union president, Ed Smith, works. I've invited him. In his own words, it's a tinderbox waiting for this to happen, and that's not good. Last but not least, for veterans, how about an amenity that we have no charge? Jack Evans, what I see is not here, introduced a bill for property exemption, but what about articles like
Michael, it's way past 2 minutes, and you know the rule. Thank you. I appreciate the input.
The articles for the record. Who thank him? Sir?
The board secretary, Jennifer, here at the. I want to say about at the urging of board member Hudgens to kind of make a clarifying comment about compliance with the federal requirements for station and system safety and safety drills. This morning we did talk about in the safety committee a schedule of the next 3 years worth of drills and exercises, and that we have been doing this for a number of years, and we'll be glad to share the information with Ms. Krepp. The issue of neighborhood participation is a legitimate question, and we need to think about it as inclusion in this drill process. So thank you for the suggestion about the community and neighborhood involvement. Next is the report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Thank you very much. The AAC, first of all, would like to express its condolences to the families of the individual that was killed and in the recent accident at La Fon Plaza. We express our condolences for that, for the family, and also for the individuals that were sent to the hospital. As far as the safety issues are concerned, our committee would like to get better educated as far as what the current protocol is going to be regarding evacuation and safety. As people with disabilities, we represent all disabilities on that committee. We would invite you to use our expertise on that committee to help answer any questions that you might have concerning people with disabilities, evacuation procedures, and safety procedures. So as the time runs through with the NTSB and the investigation goes forward, our committee would very much like to be involved in trying to find solutions, improve the efficiency and effectiveness of current processes. As far as the what's been going on this month, you gave us an assignment along with the RAC to work and with the veterans, particularly disabled veterans, on improving the priority situation on the buses. We have selected two of our members who are both in wheelchairs. We're extending the invitation to the RAC, and I know that you'll receive a report on that. We'll be working with them to improve and educate that priority situation. We did meet with the CFO this month, and we're pleased to see that there are situations, as far as funding is concerned, where we will be able to work with Metro Access, the lighting, the bus stops. It seems to me that disability issues are well funded. We have a group that we're pulling together to provide some suggestions, and I'm sure you'll hear from Phil on those suggestions that we have upcoming as far as trying to balance the budget and not impact people with disabilities. So we appreciate the funding as far as that's concerned. Regarding the Metro Access area, we received a report this last week on Metro Access. The system is working well. We were very pleased to see that as far as the pilots are concerned, particularly within D.C. and Maryland, the ones I'm most familiar with taxi cabs and dialysis, that is proving to be very effective. People are very happy with that. I think it's taking strain off the system as far as ridership is concerned and improving efficiency. That's something that we want to be tracking over the next couple of years. I think it's a very positive way forward. In general, the other projects that we are looking at and evaluating, the lighting and station bus stops, seem to be going very well, on target, and within the parameters that we've been looking for as far as progress is concerned. So I think that we're making good strides in those areas. Lastly, we did receive some questions regarding making sure that if bus routes change, that Metro Access is consulted so that a person who uses Metro Access would not be adversely affected. That has been addressed. I think we've got a good protocol working there. So I'm very pleased with the progress that we've been making so far. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Chen?
Just one comment on the participation in the drills. I think that's very important. I did a drill with the team out on Silver Line this summer. We had a lot of people from AAC who were there to actually be part of the evacuation. It really was helpful in identifying how best to do that.
Very good. I agree, and I think in looking at least some of the issues that I've listened to over the radio and read, that, you know, what we experienced was difficult and coming up with answers, I think, will improve the safety protocol for, you know, people with disabilities throughout the system. So we don't have any answers now, but we're certainly willing to help, and we appreciate coming to us for that.
Mr. Bolton?
Thank you for the great report every month. What's the timeline, in your opinion, on the lighting recommendations that I look forward to hearing about?
I think from what we've seen over the last, I think we looked at that last month, the recommendations we have going forward, we're very much on schedule as far as the stations that we're upgrading the lighting in and the mezzanines. So I don't have the schedule memorized, but it looks to me like we are well within FY 15-16, getting most of the work done. According to at least the budget that we've seen, the work has been funded and moving forward at a pace well within the schedule.
I know you don't need reminding, but I remember that you have been twice before the board with requests on emergency evacuation procedures and policies to be involved in the development of those. I would ask that as the authority goes through another review of its first responder protocols and our own internal staff recommendations about those, about handicapped individuals, that you're a direct participant in that. And I would ask that you contact Mr. Requa to make sure that that's implemented.
Very good. Okay. I'm sure that will happen. He's been very supportive of what we've done in the past. We have a good working relationship with him, so that's good.
Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next. Oh, okay. I think you're done. Thank you. Next, we have the report of the Writers Advisory Council, Ms. Hermanson. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. For those of you who haven't seen me lately, I am Barbara Hermanson, and I am the RAC member representing Alexandria. For the past 2 years, I've been the Virginia Vice Chair, and I'm the newly elected chair. Carol Walker has been speaking to at these meetings for the better part of the last year, but she's retired from the chair position and from 6 years of service on the RAC, and she is a very big shoe to fill. I know more than anybody how big those shoes are. So I will be addressing you most months. I won't be reading from what's already in your packet, but just hitting some highlights and maybe some things that have come up since the report was written. So with the new year, we all not only have me installed as a new chair, we have a brand new slate of vice chairs and 8 new members of the RAC. We thank you, the board, for selecting such an impressive freshman class to join us. And we also thank Jennifer Ellison and James Jackson for their work on the recruiting process. I know there were a lot of people to work through that applied. We've already formed our committees for the year and have started discussions of our work plan. The plans will take shape in the next week with meetings we're having and the week after. And they will include requests, as usual, from the board and from the staff, as well as those issues that we are driving from our own perspective. One request we've already received is for input on the operating budget. In my experience, building a budget is never easy, and I know WMATA certainly is not easy this year. We're committed to partnering with you, provide input, feedback on options, help with the outreach. However we can help, we want to be there. We've also been asked to partner with the AAC on the disabled veterans proposal that we will be working on. And we have some members that are going to be participating in the FAIR pilot that will be underway reasonably soon, the FAIR payment pilot. I suspect there'll be a lot more to tell you about our work plan next month. One last comment. I know that there's an army of good people here today and throughout the WMATA community that wish the Yellow Line incident 10 days ago had never happened. I want to personally thank Board Chair Tom Downs for the message that he sent to our writers. I was personally very touched by it, and I'm sure the writers appreciated your communication. To the board and the staff, I want to emphasize that we are, as the Writers Advisory Council, we exist to help all of you on writer issues, you, the board, you, the staff, you, the public. We're here to help. We want to do whatever we can to work with you as you move forward, whether it's before the GSB report is in or after, however we can to participate, whether it's the grills or anything that you need from us. We want to do that. We want to work with you. So thank you for your time today, and thank you for giving the RAC time every month to say a few words. Any questions for me?
A comment that I would make to you and the RAC as well is that it's really important about as we go through this process of reviewing the evacuation and the safety implications of it, it is important for the RAC to be part of that process, and I would ask that you contact Jack and volunteer to be a participant in that process as well. And your participation as well as the AAC will make this a stronger process.
We will do that. Thank you. Any other questions?
Any comments or questions?
Thank you.
Hearing none, thank you. The chair's report, it's an amazing indication of the amount of turnover that we're going through because of the number of recognitions that we're making today. But I want to say first that on behalf of the entire board of directors and all of the Metro staff, we offer our deepest condolences to the family of Carol Glover, the passenger who died last week following the incident on the Yellow Line. I would respectfully ask for a moment of silence in memory of Ms. Glover. Thank you for that. I would also like to reiterate our apology to all Metro riders, especially those who were injured or impacted by the incident. We know this was a harrowing experience for the passengers involved. And I have to say, as a regular Metro rider, I would be less than candid if I didn't think about that incident every time I have entered the station since the incident. And it is, I understand that this is a personal reaction on the part of the 600,000 people who ride the system every day. And our commitment to getting all of our riders and users the most comprehensive information and the most comprehensive commitment to enhancing safety even further. As we've all stated, it's important for all of us to recognize that in this investigation, our primary responsibility is to the National Transportation Safety Board. They're empowered by law to investigate incidents like this and to make findings of fact and recommendations about improvements going forward. Their rules are clear about our primary and secondary allegiance to providing information to the board, and we intend to fulfill that as completely as we can. It's also our commitment, and we've stated it before, that anything that we know of that could be improved as we go forward, we will do those as quickly as possible without reservation about cost. The process for doing that is twofold. One, we will probably get a significant number of recommendations from the safety board itself. The other is that issues that have come up in the Metro review of the incident preliminarily yield things that we think could be improved and improved now. And we review those with the safety board so that they know what we intend to do. And we have, we talked this morning in the safety committee about 10 of those. And our commitment is every single one of these that comes forward in this process will be implemented as quickly as possible and with without reservation about the cost of doing them. As Mr. Downey said this morning in the safety committee meeting, we have a tremendous amount of respect for this process. And once the root causes are understood, we will do everything. This authority will take every action that is recommended, every action that we think can be implemented beyond those recommendations. We will do it in the most visible and timely fashion that is possible, and we will not be constrained about the cost of making those changes or improvements in the system to ensure our customers about the ongoing safety and of the seriousness of our commitment. I would take the opportunity as well to publicly thank Acting NTSB Chairman Chris Hart for being here this morning at our safety and security meeting. It's relatively rare for a chair of the NTSB to appear in public about an ongoing investigation. This was an extraordinary outreach to all of us, and I want to thank him both for his commitment to being a aggressive but functional manager of this process. I also want to thank my colleague and the chair of the Safety and Security Committee, Mort Downey, for his extraordinary leadership and his willingness to bring his expansive transit knowledge and experience to provide us technical and policy assistance. The board and the public is extremely fortunate to have someone with Mort's experience here at Mort at Metro. Finally, I'd like to thank my board colleagues for their dedication to working alongside me and interim General Manager Jack Rickwood to commit the full resources of the authority to this investigation. I also commend them for their forbearance as we seek to be responsive to our constituents and to their unified compliance with federal investigation requirements. I know that I can speak for everyone about the need for our riders' trust in Metro. We know we have to redouble our efforts to learn from this and take every step necessary so that it doesn't happen again, and we will do that. The recognition of those who are leaving the scene is next, but I would be remiss if I didn't share a concern going forward. As serious as this incident was and is, and as serious as our focus is in getting to the bottom of what happened and commitment to improving the safety, it is incredibly important to recognize that this cannot lessen our focus on the capital funding agreement, which needs to be executed probably by June. That capital funding agreement is where we make the final commitment to getting to stable and reliable operating systems on the authority. We're over halfway there, but we're not there. And part of the issue around the age of the cable and the upgrades that are possible there are part of the stable and reliable funding so that we can get to the completion of that in 2017. Our commitment to safety is not keeping our eye off of, taking our eye off of the funding requirements of the next several years to get us to a much safer platform. We're dedicated to that, but that's what is on the agenda for the capital funding agreement, assigned. Agreed upon capital funding agreement for the next 5 years. The other clock that is ticking that is incredibly important to the region is the ability to exercise the 7,000 series car options. If we accidentally, and we have 4 months as a region to come to an agreement about exercising those options. If we're not ready for prime time in 120 days, those options will automatically expire and we will be making a decision, potentially by default, for this region that will not be resolved for a decade. Given the fact that if we lose this option, we will have to start over on a car contract with a new series of improvements and changes that are beyond the 7 Series car, and that we will not be able to solve all of the problems about an aging fleet that are part of the commitment about those car options for this region and for our riders. Therefore, our pledge is we're not going to lose a minute in our pursuit of the answers to this incident, but our pledge as well has to be that we cannot for a moment let the clock tick away on both the capital funding agreement and the car options. The safety ramifications alone of those are overwhelming. And it's up to us as a board to keep reminding all of us and to hold ourselves accountable for the time frame that leads up to June the 1st. As far as I can tell, that's 4 months away. And inertia is a terrible thing to have to deal with. And the ability to put things off for the last minute jeopardizes the authority's ability to be the kind of place that our riding public and all of the jurisdictions expect of us. Having said that, I want to recognize it's interesting. I take it for granted that everybody in the region knows who Herb Harris was. And it's a fact of life that if you spend your entire life in public service, the public's memory about that is 3 years, or maybe it's 3 months. And I can't think of anybody who had a more significant impact on the funding of this authority at a very critical stage in the life of the construction of the rail system. Without Herb's political courage and skill, we probably would not have finished the rail system as planned, which means that we might have had a 70-mile system without Herb. He introduced legislation in 1979, providing $1.9 billion in federal funds to complete the metro system and pushed for metro expansion to Dulles and other parts of Northern Virginia. I remember that. Metro would not have been the system it is today without him. He will be greatly missed. And therefore, I would like to move approval of Congressman Harris's formal commendation on Metro. I would ask if any of you would like to make a remark at this time, that this is the opportune time to do that. Sajid?
I'd like to second the motion. Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate you bringing this to the board at this time. And with the recent passing of Congressman Harris, it is a great opportunity to recognize the continuous contributions he made to metro transportation, but regionalism in general, because he was really steadfast in terms of us as a region and how necessary it was to pull together as a region for our success. And he recognized that Metro was a key for that. And for many of us who were around also thought it wasn't a short time that you missed Mr. Harris. He has been Congressman Harris until he passed away. And we're very grateful for the contribution that he made to not only his role in Metro and the region of the Washington area, but basically as a congressman on the Hill of setting a policy direction that made us really recognize he cared about the entire community, and he did so with a steadfast voice. So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Mr. Downey?
Yeah, thank you. Way back in my life, when I was an official in the Carter administration, I had the responsibility to deal with the administration side of the enactment of this legislation, testified before the committee, went to the White House and sold them on the idea that they should support this. One of the lasting legacies of that bill was the language that said,
The region must come up with stable and reliable funding in order to encourage the federal government to be a partner in the system. In fact, if you go back, those three words were in my testimony. That's where they were picked up. Congressman Harris picked it up. It has been used. It needs to be continued to be used as we go forward. Stable and reliable funding is critical to the future of this. And Congressman Harris knew that. We should all know that.
Any other comments? Hearing no others, I would ask for approval of the motion.
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you. Next, I'd like to take the opportunity to recognize and thank recently retired Congressman Jim Moran and Frank Wolf for their service to the region and support of Metro. Both have a long history of distinguished service to the residents of Northern Virginia, but they also have a long record of steadfast support for Metro, Metro funding, Metro authorizations, and probably as distinguished a record of support for the authority as any member of Congress. Congressman Moran and Congressman Wolf both worked with the region's congressional delegations to secure the $900 million in federal funding for phase one of the Silver Line and $1.9 billion in federal transportation infrastructure finance and innovation act to support phase two of the Silver Line. And during his 12 terms in the House of Representatives, Congress Moran helped secure over $21 million in funding for new regional transportation services. He also worked across party lines to help the Passenger Rail Investment and Improvement Act of 2008, PREA, which authorized $1.5 billion in federal funds for WMATA for state of good repair and critical safety projects. During his time in office, Congressman Wolf led the effort to make certain we received the PREA funds through his work on the Appropriations Committee. Congressman Wolf was also a strong advocate for morale and productivity within federal agencies and worked to encourage the adoption of policies to reduce traffic congestion and improving air quality and providing savings to taxpayers. In recognition of their service to the region and support of Metro, I move the approval to approve the formal commendations for Congressman Moran and Congressman Wolf. I would ask for a second. Motion made and seconded. Discussion?
It's exciting that you would do this at the board. As Congressman Moran and Wolf leave, we know that we have lost really strong supporters and that they have been very instrumental in their support at Metro. I find that a uniqueness in that I've had the opportunity to have Jim Moran and Congressman Wolf as part of my district, since they, for some reason, the district lines always flow just along those district boundaries. So it's an amazing way that you can do amazing you could do that so strategically. But thank you for this opportunity to recognize them as they continue.
Any other comments? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Next, we have a recognition of departing board members. We have suddenly two board members leaving this august body, and I want to take a moment to recognize both of them. Starting with Mr. Nichols, who I have enjoyed working with immensely. I appreciate his sense of humor, his perseverance in the face of difficult tasks with audit. We have been, we've had the pleasure of working and serving with Alvin since he joined the board as principal director for Maryland in March of 2011. During his tenure, his accomplishments include addressing the highly technical issues involved in audit compliance. That's where his hair went. Fostering a greater dialogue between the board and its advisory groups, championing leadership development at Metro, and on behalf of the board, we offer you our sincere gratitude for your services to our customers in the region and for your leadership on the board. Mr. Nichols also has served as a member of the executive committee of the board and has been incredibly persistent about the issues around leadership and diversity management within the authority. And for that, I'm grateful, and I think we all are. Whereas Alvin Nichols, a member representing the state of Maryland on the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Board, will conclude his service effective February the 1st, 2015. And whereas Mr. Nichols began his service on the WMATA Board in March 2011, and whereas Mr. Nichols has served as chair of the Audits and Investigations Committee since September 2011, whereas Mr. Nichols sustained stewardship of the Audit Committee, the board addressed challenging and highly technical issues requiring a tireless commitment by Mr. Nichols to that work. Whereas as a continual advocate for leadership development at Metro, Mr. Nichols stressed the importance of recognizing and honoring diversity as part of the authority's human capital strategy. And whereas Mr. Nichols was a supporter of Momentum, Metro strategic plan, and whereas in his capacity as the board's second vice chair, Mr. Nichols served on the board's executive committee and was instrumental in fostering a great dialogue between the board and its advisory groups, the Writers Advisory Council, and the Accessibility Advisory Committee. Whereas Mr. Nichols ensured that during the board discussion, issues and challenges are examined from all angles so that they can be addressed in the most effective manner. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Mr. Nichols for his service and leadership as a member of the WMATA Board, and be it further resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors commends Alvin Nichols for his dedication to developing and enhancing Metro's leadership and his role in ensuring that Metro services are responsible to all members of Metro's writers community. I would ask for a second to the motion. Motion made and seconded. Would anybody like to make a comment prior to passage?
I certainly would, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Please.
I've now been serving with Alvin as a principal representative from the state of Maryland for the past year and a half, and I've enjoyed it greatly. He's been a great model, a great source of information for me. Coming from Montgomery County, sometimes we have to ask our friends from Prince George's County for guidance and for knowledge and help, and Alvin has been willing to provide it. Alvin, indeed, was the first board member that I met after my appointment, and I had met him one summer day at a meeting in Maryland in summer of 2013, and he came up afterwards, and he said, well, you know what you're getting into with this job. And I said, I think so. And he said, you have no idea. So I've come to appreciate that comment over the last year and a half, as well as his guidance and his learning. He has served as an excellent representative both of Maryland, Prince George's County, as well as dean of our delegation on the WMATA board. Wish him well in his activities after he ends his service. But I will continue to keep his phone number on my speed dial and give him calls now and then to get some guidance and run ideas by him as we trudge forward without him. Thank you, and good luck, Alvin.
Mr. Chairman, if I might,
Ms. Hines?
Mr. Nichols and I came on the board about 2 months apart, so we were part of the new wave, if you will, that came in 2011. And it's been my great pleasure to serve with Alvin over all this time. We share a love of music as well as a love of transportation and a love of this region. And that really is the thing that I wanted to just pause for a moment and say about Alvin. Being on this board is hard, as we know, because we wear two hats. We have an allegiance to whoever sent us here, but we also have a deep commitment to making the region a better place. And sometimes that line and that balancing act is really difficult and challenging, and we've definitely had our challenges, and we will continue to have our challenges, as I know the people before us did. But I just have found the questions Alvin asked and the way that he sometimes framed the issue to be of great contribution to this board, and I know to the region. And so for that, I want to say thank you. We will miss your voice. We hope they send us someone as wonderful as you, the new governor does, who will help us continue to move in a really important conversation for the region. So thank you.
Kathy?
I'd just like to add, Alvin and I came on the board very close to the same time, and I've been very much appreciated serving with him all this time. Actually, he and I have a previous connection that goes back some years, well, maybe some decades. Of course, we were both in elementary school at the time. But he served as the city administrator of the city of Tacoma Park very early in his career. And so sometimes we could, in addition to Metro business, sometimes we talked about the city of Tacoma Park, which I'm sure he remembers very fondly. But I wanted to thank you, Alvin. I have very much appreciated these past few years. I've appreciated your advice and the perspective that you bring to issues, which is very thoughtful and very wide-ranging. And also thank you for your friendship. I have very much appreciated talking to you, both because of the information that I get from you, but also because I just enjoy you as a friend. And I look forward to continuing that and wish you all the best in your business.
I think Mr. Beck had his hand up next, and then
I just wanted to also thank you. Artis couldn't stay for this part of the program, but she certainly expressed her sorrow at your leaving and understanding your commitment to Prince George's County, and I know I share that same feeling. And it's been a real pleasure working with you. We've been able to work on some things together, and I had a special affinity for the fact that since I grew up in Prince George's County, I sort of looked to you as representing whatever heritage I had in the county, and you did an excellent job. So the one good thing I can say about the fact that you and I are both leaving on the same day means maybe now I can audition to be a part of your band. Good luck.
Tony?
Thank you, and I too will miss Alvin. I served with him on the Audits and Investigations Committee for 4 years. I would say that I will not necessarily miss his long and detailed questions that he used to ask, but nonetheless, he was very insightful and also very dedicated to that position and certainly performed extremely well. I also have a history with the city of Tacoma Park, Maryland, although I didn't know him there. I was the public works director back in the 80s for a number of years. And so there is a Tacoma connection that we're going to lose. But I understand, and I hopefully will continue your friendship, Alvin, and one of these days get to hear you sing some jazz music. Thank you for your service.
It could be today.
Alvin, do you want to have a comment? Please.
I've never talked. I don't use the button. I don't know where it works. Far too many words already. But I do want to thank each of you for your kind words, and thank you for your friendship and your collaboration as board members in the service. I am public service is important to me, and I always enjoy the opportunity to do that, although I do frequently say that I served on the Maryland Port Commission immediately prior to coming here, and I to ingest a little bit, say to the governor that this was my sentence. What did I do to put running ships and longshoremen is a piece of cake compared to this. But in all candor, it is a sobering experience to serve in this capacity. And I don't leave, although there was a political change in Maryland, I was not asked to leave. I've heard a couple of comments that suggest that the new governor and the new secretary of transportation did not ask that I leave. My business and personal obligations have just made my commitment that this deserves, frankly, impossible to serve both well. And so, frankly, I regretfully stepped down from this, but I have appreciated the opportunity to do it because I think service is important for all of us. This is a sobering experience. Perhaps the only thing that has rivaled being on this board was being city manager of Tacoma Park. It starts a challenge. But I did enjoy that, too. I want to thank the staff that I've worked with here at WMATA, my Maryland colleagues, Kristen, Sean, and the many members of that team that I've worked with. And I believe, but I certainly know that the folks who work here have enormous vigilance for what is here, and it's a long process. It won't be finished in 4 years. It won't be finished in six, but it's a continuous process that I know people are committed to. So I thank you for the opportunity to serve with you, and I know that our future is going to be managed well. Thank you.
Could you come up? We've got a...
I will. A presentation from the Metro Board of Directors recognize and thank Alvin Nichols for his dedicated service in 2011, 2016. I'm noticing I don't know whether this is a certain open or closed.
I assume it's open. Next, I'd like to recognize the imminent departure of another board member, Jim Dyke. It has been a great 3 years serving with Jim since he joined the board of directors in January 2012 as the first principal director appointed directly by the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. But as the formal commendation notes, his contribution to Metro started long before he joined the Metro Board. Jim was instrumental in reforming Metro's governance through his leadership on the Board of Trade Governance Report, work that has continued through his service in chairing of the Governance Committee. While on the board, accomplishments under Jim's leadership include reformed government governance procedures, including significant revisions to the board bylaws and code of ethics, championing Metro's strategic plan of momentum, and helping bring the Silver Line service to his hometown of Reston. On behalf of the board, we wish Mr. Dyke continued success in his new role as an appointee to the Commonwealth Transportation Board. So, as Jim reminded me, you haven't seen the last of me yet. On behalf of the board, we know that he will continue to be one of Metro's strongest supporters. I would also say my experience has been, given the unique circumstances of Jim's experience, having been born and raised in Maryland, having been an official in the District of Columbia, and having now been actively engaged in the Maryland governance process, Jim has been the natural shuttle diplomacy expert and in terms of conversation with political players in all three jurisdictions to our benefit. And I think we need to recognize that as a unique skill that Jim brought to the table and that he exercised that
skill in an incredibly responsible and professional way. So particularly for that role, thank you. Although I know that a lot of that wasn't necessarily visible. resolution reads, whereas James Jim Dyke, a member representing the Commonwealth of Virginia on the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority Board, will conclude his service effective February the 1st. Whereas even before his service on the Metro Board of Directors, Mr. Dyke contributed immeasurably to the strengthening of Metro's governance as co-chair of the Washington Metropolitan Council of Governments, Greater Washington Board of Trade Joint WMATA Governing Review Task Force, which was convened in June 2010 and issued its final report in November of 2010. And whereas the governors of Maryland, Virginia, and the mayor of the District of Columbia endorsed the task force final report, moving Metro forward in November 2010, and laid out a joint plan to enhance the board's governance role. And whereas Mr. Dyke began his service on the Metro Board in January of 2012 as the first board member to directly represent the Commonwealth of Virginia on the board, in recognition of the Commonwealth's significant interest and investment in Metro, and whereas, although Mr. Dyke officially represented the Commonwealth of Virginia on the Metro Board, he was often called on to be Metro's ambassador in all three jurisdictions because of his work on regional issues, a role he performed ably and with grace. Whereas Mr. Dyke served as chair of the board's governance committee in 2013 and 14, and whereas Mr. Dyke's leadership, the governance committee, the board undertook a sustained and thorough examination of Metro's governance, resulting in significant revisions to its bylaws. And whereas Mr. Dyke has also led the board through substantial revisions to the Code of Ethics, aligning language in the new code with that suggested by the Department of Transportation's Inspector General in order to ensure that the board holds itself to the highest ethical standards. And whereas Mr. Dyke served on the board at a time of the opening of Metro Silver Line, the largest expansion in Metro's history, adding a new color to the map for the first time since 1991, opening of the Green Line, and bringing rail transit to Mr. Dyke's hometown of Reston, Virginia. And whereas Mr. Dyke is a champion of momentum, Metro's strategic plan and tirelessly advocated throughout the region for funding to support this plan. And whereas Mr. Dyke is known by his colleagues on the board for his collegiality and for ensuring that all points of view are recognized and heard during the discussion. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Metro Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Jim Dyke for his service and leadership as a member of the WMATA Board of Directors, and further resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors commends Jim Dyke for his dedication to developing and enhancing Metro's leadership and governance, and for his role in expanding Metro services to the residents of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I now ask for a second to the motion and discussion following. Second. Some discussion. Mr. Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim, we had the opportunity to work with you when you were putting the governance task force together for the Board of Trade. And I think you and I also worked on an earlier Blue Ribbon panel. So you'd been on the outside looking at what needed to be done. You listened to what might be done. Then you had the opportunity to be sentenced to do it. That's always a risk in public life when you've done something like that, but you've done it in a great way. I don't know anybody who is as skilled in situations that are difficult and complicated in terms of finding a way through that works for all the parties. It's a skill that all of us have benefited from. We hope we can find your continued help to do that and advice on how to do it. But it is so important in as complex a set of mechanisms as this to have somebody who can see through it and say, if we do this, if we do that, if we do this, everybody should be happy. And that's always been the case. We appreciate your skill in doing that.
Thank you. I will be brief. I'm always brief, remember? But Jim Dyke casts a large shadow, and a quiet dignity that gets things done in a way that endears friendships and relationships and really brings together polarized sides. I think the way the resolution was characterized is so appropriate. I've enjoyed your friendship, valued your contributions. The region has no idea how much you have saved in chaos and how much you're leaving portends other gaps that have to be filled. So thank you. I've enjoyed serving with you, and I'm glad we're going out together. So thank you.
I'm going to also be brief. I want to say just simply thank you to Jim. The work that you've done has been enormous in terms of Metro. Your tenure here and your tenure outside, I appreciate it. We'll be watching you on the other side of a river as you work there, and you'll still be in Reston. So I know that you'll still be attentive to what we're doing, and that's going to be good. Good luck to you in the next step.
Thanks, Mr. Downs. And I too will be brief, but I do want to emphasize again with Jim Dykes leaving, we're losing another person who really gets that this is a regional entity, and that that we have to make decisions beyond what our local interests are. When Jim came, I will admit that Arlington was not a happy camper. Since he took the seat I sat in, we've teased about that over the last several years because in fact, having Jim on this board was a really critical component to the success that we've been able to achieve while he's been part of this board. And so I, too, look forward to continuing to work with him on the Commonwealth Transportation Board in Virginia and know that he will not withdraw his support and his counsel should we need it. And I think that's really important. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comments? Mr. Bolt?
Jim, you've been great. Learned a lot from you, and look forward to your success at the mysterious Commonwealth Transportation Board. All my career in this area, I still don't know what the Commonwealth Transportation Board actually does. So I'll issue a slight challenge that when you get ready or feel comfortable, that you bring the Commonwealth Transportation Board to a joint meeting of our board or a subcommittee meeting of some sort that we can establish or help you in the future.
Hearing no other comments, I would ask for a vote on the resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Want to come forward?
I'm sorry. Yes. No, of course not.
Rebuttal.
I'll be brief, very brief. First, thank you very much for the recognition. I must admit I've had a chance to serve on a number of bodies, but I can say that I've not served on one that I've enjoyed more than this because of the collegiality, because of the challenges, the impact it's had on the region, and I've thought of myself as a person of the region. As I said, having been born in the District of Columbia, raised in Prince George's County, and now live in Virginia, I'm fully vested in this area. And you were talking about the difficulties associated with working through all these different things. And I always like to tell people that I was sort of prepared for this because my wife and I had the privilege of raising three teenage daughters all at the same time. So I figured if I could survive having three teenage daughters at the same time, then I figured I could work my way through all this. But it has indeed been a pleasure, and the collegiality here has been tremendous. I've enjoyed working with every one of you, and I will always remember that. Just for the record, the Commonwealth Transportation Board oversees the dispensing of all the funds in the Commonwealth of Virginia, all of the roads, transit, ports, air, all those various and sundry things. So actually, and my role in being on that board is because, quite honestly, in the past, it has not paid the kind of attention it should have to the importance of transit and the multimodal approach we need to transportation, and that's the reason the governor asked me to serve on that board. So your offer is, in fact, one I will take you up on because I want to make sure they understand fully In fact, when the CTB meets up here in Northern Virginia in May, I want to make sure they get a chance to ride the Silver Line and see Metro and understand where the money is going. And as Mary indicated, just because I'm leaving the board does not mean I'm leaving the arena. So if there's ever anything that I can do from my post at CTB to help you, please feel free to call on me. I'm more than happy to do this. I'd also be remiss if I didn't thank the staff at WMATA, which has been absolutely fabulous in supporting me and helping me and just providing the kind of guidance that has made me to feel that I've made some contribution as a board member. I will miss seeing all of you. I may well just wander down sometimes, two times a month, just to sit in the audience and watch what happens. But it's been a great experience, and thank you so much for this opportunity. And I look forward to continuing to have you as friends as we go forward. So thank you very much.
This also, the Board of Directors recognized and thanked James Dyke for his dedicated service 2012 to 2015. And on a personal note, I was trying to remember how long it's been since we have been working together on various issues. And I got back to 30 years ago, but I.
At least.
It's been a while, and I want to say.
When you were city administrator, yeah. I guess, but it was first
30 years ago.
That was Dawn Council.
You were. And. I have to say that in addition to my admiration for all of the work that you've done here, I consider you a long time friend. I will personally give you a full.
Thank you.
Next, we have the report of the general manager, which, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I remember. I got it. I have too many, again, I have too many pieces of paper. we have established a process of recognizing the service of longtime employees of the authority, which I think we were tardy in not doing that for years and years. The extraordinary thing about somebody who could actually give us true and professional service 40 years is beyond recognition. I know at times this can be a difficult place to work, both in terms of the service that employees provide, but also just how hard it is to stay with an organization for that period of time. So today we are recognizing first Calvin Parker. You want to back and forth. I would recognize that Mr. Parker has been with Metro since 1975. He started his career at Metro as a bus operator, has moved on to become a train operator, a senior rail transportation supervisor, and a chief of rail operations supervisor. So he literally began at the ground floor and has worked his way up through the organization. He is a rail superintendent and has proudly served our customers and fellow employees in this role since 2005. The Metro Board, again, is grateful for your 40 years of outstanding exemplary service to the authority and to our customers. Your dedication to Metro and the region is commendable, and thank you again. It's a privilege to be here. Next, we have Calvin Powell. Not here? Well, I'm sorry. John, okay. I would, John, do you have the narrative for? Okay. We can reschedule Mr. Powell, I hope, for the board to recognize him in person. So, that concludes my remarks as chair. So with that, Mr. Requa.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and board members. I want to join the board and all Metro employees in extending my condolences to the family of Carol Glover and apologizing to those riders impacted by last week's incident on the Yellow Line. I'd also like to thank the first responders, Metro employees, and riders who came to the aid of their fellow passengers. There are many acts of bravery and selflessness displayed during this emergency. Metro's leadership team is fully committed to taking whatever steps are needed to provide a safer system for our riders and employees, and as we mentioned this morning, we have already begun that process. Thank you, Chairman Downs, Mr. Downey, and the entire board for your support in the days since I assumed the interim position. During the past week, the board and Metro staff have been fully engaged in cooperating with the National Transportation Safety Board investigation. I know that it's been difficult. It's been a difficult time for the board and management, as we have all wanted to provide a full account of what happened on January 12th. However, in addition to our commitment to comply with federal law, we respect the integrity of the National Transportation Safety Board process and recognize that a complete and unbiased review of the incident will lead to recommendations that will provide meaningful and lasting change. Dozens of Metro employees have devoted the past week to gathering information related to the incident. We have given federal investigators access to our facilities to conduct track walks and examine equipment, and we've provided more than 350 hours of surveillance videos from Lafont Plaza Station and the impacted areas. In addition, we have submitted nearly 4,000 pages of information, including copies of Metro's emergency protocols, information about rail power, fire alarm records, fan shaft management reports, rail car maintenance reports, employee training and operations records, and passenger and witness statements. We will continue to have 20 staff assigned to multiple NTSB committees to review the incident. In closing, our team remains dedicated to working with the NTSB, respectful of the process that we know will result in the most complete understanding of the January 12th incident. This process, while frustrating and at times for all of us, will lead to impartial findings and recommendations that provide the greatest benefit to our riders in the entire region. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. The next item on the agenda would be the report by Planning Program Development Real Estate, Ms. Tricconi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The following actions were referred to the board at the January 8, 2015 meeting of the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee. The first item is approval of a term sheet for the Brooklyn Joint Development Project. Staff sought board approval to execute a term sheet for the Brooklyn Catholic University of America joint development site. Staff has recommended the MRP Realty Cass Riegler team as the selected developer of the Brooklyn Catholic University joint development site in accordance with the November 2013 joint development solicitation. The recommended developer proposes to build apartments and ground floor retail space and incorporate the existing Kiss and Ride facility into the new project. Staff has negotiated a term sheet to ground lease the site to the developer and is seeking board approval to execute that term sheet. The joint development site consists of two parcels, a vacant north parcel of approximately 1.1 acres and a south parcel of 0.7 acres that includes Metro's 38-space kiss and ride parking facility. Metro evaluated four responses to the joint development solicitation that were received in April of last year and concluded in September that the proposal from the Mid-Atlantic Realty Partners doing business as MRP Realty, Cass Riegler, team met Metro's development objectives. Metro proceeded to negotiate a non-binding term sheet with the developer, which both parties will execute upon Metro board approval. So I'd like to move approval of that term sheet for the Brooklyn Joint Development Project. Any discussion? Okay, then all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so moved. Thank you. So approved. The second item is the approval. Yes.
To avoid an appearance of conflict of interest on this next matter.
Step out.
Next matter. Thank you.
Thank you. The second item is the approval of a term sheet for the New Carrollton Joint Development. Staff sought approval of a non-binding term sheet between Metro and a private sector developer for the development of a mixed-use transit-oriented project on Metro-owned land at the New Carrollton Metro Station. This is an outgrowth of a request for qualifications issued by Metro in 2010 for this development and the selection of New Carrollton Joint Venture LLC, a joint venture of Forest City Enterprises and Urban Atlantic, as the preferred developer. The current proposal is to start development on a part of the southern Metro-owned parcel with a mid-rise, 4-to-6-story multifamily project with a small retail component. Eventually, the site could contain more residential, some of it perhaps at a higher height, more retail, perhaps office, and a hotel. Improved transit facilities would include a new bus loop and kiss-and-ride facility to relieve congestion at the current facilities, which are somewhat undersized. Additional commuter park-and-ride garages to replace the surface slots being displaced by the proposed development, and a potential Purple Line rail terminus station and a proposed high-speed Amtrak station. I'd like to move approval of the term sheet for New Carrollton Joint Development. Any seconds?
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? Okay. It's a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Then we have approval. Thank you. The third item is for approval of closure of the Transit Infrastructure Investment Fund Program. Staff sought board approval to first revise the TIF policy to update funding priorities, and second, to reallocate the funds from closed or completed TIF projects. The proposed guidance in this board action seeks to refocus investment into initiatives that more closely support Metro's strategic and financial objectives. $30 million in TIF funding can thus be released from closed or completed projects. Over the next 10 years, an additional $35 million will flow into the TIF from existing projects. Additionally, $100 million is expected to flow into the TIF from new projects, such as the ones we've approved the term sheets for. Following discussion, the committee requested staff to prepare a new resolution prior to presentation before the board that calls for Metro staff to work with the Jurisdictional Coordinating Committee to develop an enhanced capital improvement project identification process so that the kinds of local projects that had heretofore been funded through the TIF could now be considered particularly as part of the CIP, the Capital Improvement Plan. So they'll be developing that process for local and sub-regional initiatives. The revised resolution has been included in your board materials. I'd like to move approval of the closure of the Transit Infrastructure Investment Fund program. We have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you for your approval.
Next, we have a report from the Customer Services and Operations Committee Chair.
Chair, can I just note for the record that I'm going to recuse myself, stand back, and let Mary or both
for Virginia.
Okay. Motion on the table. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the customer service and operations, I just lost my place, but I will get back. Had before it. The for the January 8th Customer Service Committee meeting, we have the following action item brought: approval of the public hearing staff report and the bus service adjustments. Mr. Chairman, the committee recommended approval of the staff report from the public hearing docket B14-03, including approval to change the fare on one route and modify Metro bus service to improve effectiveness, performance, and customer satisfaction, and approval of a Title VI equity analysis. Mr. Chairman, I so move.
Second.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to offer an amendment to the motion, if I might, and I would direct my colleagues to page 63 of our board report, which is the resolution that Mrs. Hutchins just moved. In reviewing with our staff, in Arlington, we discovered that a service we had hoped to expand had not kind of gotten captured appropriately. And so this is an amendment to make sure that we can move forward on this service change that was discussed, and we've worked it through with WMATA staff. So on page 63, the second resolve from the bottom is where I will start. So we would move to amend that resolved to read, resolved that the Board of Directors has considered and approves the staff report and recommendation as amended to include the extended service on the Lee Highway Farragut Square line dated December 18, 2014 to adopt the fare change and remaining service adjustments as amended and shown thereon, including the results of the required service equity analysis, and be it further, and then two new resolved clauses. Resolved that the additional costs of the extended service on the Lee Highway Farragut Square line will be attributed to Arlington County as a non-regional service enhancement, and be it further resolved that staff is directed to make conforming adjustments to the staff and Title VI reports, and be it further resolved, and then it would proceed onward. I would note just for your information that this adds about a mile to the service and connects it to the East Falls Church Metro, so that we have a continuous line running from East Falls Church over to Farragut. It's service we've been building for a number of years, and this will allow us to make that important last connection. And as I said, it's all Arlington's money. There's no regional participation in this extension.
Thank you.
I accept it without.
Any other comments? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Next, we have a report from the Finance Committee. Mr. Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two actions were referred to the board from the January 8th meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. I'll take them up one at a time. The first is to amend the current 2015 to 2020 capital improvement program to incorporate resiliency projects. Staff sought approval to amend and increase the capital improvement program by $21 million to incorporate resiliency projects, including vent shaft hardening, installation of backflow preventers, and other flood control measures. These are funded by the receipt from two competitively awarded Federal Transit Administration resiliency grants that have come to Metro. I move the approval of that CIP amendment.
Motion made and seconded. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Thank you.
Second item from the Finance Committee has to do with a credit facility. This was discussed at length at the committee. The timing is such that we need to begin exploring this and give notice of our intent to explore that so that funding will be available throughout the year in support of the capital program. The sponsoring jurisdictions for the capital program and for the authority would have the option to prepay their share of the debt before the final amount of the bond issue was established in accordance with the capital funding agreement, which contemplated this borrowing. As that discussion and the work goes forward, staff will provide an evaluation of alternative funding mechanisms, including the potential reduction or deferral of capital expenditures. We'll be working with the jurisdictions and will report back findings to the board in March. Finally, before the debt issuance of whatever amount it might be, it's currently not to exceed $440 million, but could be less. But the staff will provide the board with the amount and terms of the proposed issuance for our final review and approval prior to issuance of the bonds. And I would move approval of that resolution.
Motion made and seconded. Hear any discussion?
Discussion, Goldman.
Mr. Goldman?
Mr. Chairman, I support this motion today to get the process started, but I must say that I do so with serious reservation. My reservations extend to whether this is the right time to be seeking such long-term debt financing, and if we decide to do so, as to whether $440 million as thought by staff is the appropriate level. I want to urge staff to begin serious discussion with the jurisdiction, as called for by the resolution, as summarized by Mr. Downing, to explore alternatives, such as slowing spending, pursuing faster reimbursement from the federal government, short-term financing, get this done. I must say that it's important to heed the words of the resolution, which calls for our CFO, General Manager, and Treasurer to initiate with the sponsoring jurisdictions evaluation of alternative funding mechanisms, including short-term financing, grant reimbursement, private placement, issuance of long-term bonds, and potential reduction or deferral of capital expenditure. Resolution further calls for the staff to bring us back a report by the first meeting in March, by the March board meeting, as to its evaluation of those alternatives. As of today, I cannot assure you that my vote today is in any way a commitment to be able to vote in favor of this long-term financing whether when it comes back to the board in the spring. I reserve my right to review it, to look at the alternative financing report, and decide at that point whether seeking long-term financing at this point in the spring, in this amount, the correct thing for this board to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That completes the report from the Finance Committee. The next item on the agenda is the election of officers. Under the board's bylaws, the board elects its officers annually in January of each year. As the board is aware, there are several major items on the board's agenda this year. The governance committee felt it was prudent to propose a slate of officers early so that this year's leadership would be known in advance of elections. As a result, the board approved the following slate for board officer elections in October. Chair, Mort Downey. Vice Chair, Alvin Nichols. Second Vice Chair, Catherine Hudgens. As a result of the recent resignation of Board Member Nichols, I propose the board amend the approved slate to only reflect the election of Chair and Second Vice Chair, with the understanding that we will fill the Vice Chair position vacated by Mr. Nichols at a future date. Therefore, I move that we elect the following officers: Mort Downey as Chair and Catherine Hudgens as Second Vice Chair.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Do I hear any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? I want to say, as one of the last official acts as chairman before I hand the gavel to Mr. Downey, is that I want to publicly thank previous chair for the creation of the new role and relationship of the board to the chair and the committees, the professionalism that she showed and the openness that she showed in the process of creating this new two-year chairmanship and the new commitment to openness and to collegiality, as well as thinking regionally. It made my job as chair much easier And I felt obligated to recognize the groundbreaking work that she did as chair. So thank you. The other is that this has been a it's the right term, challenging 2 years. And I appreciate the support and the collegiality of the board in working together through all of those challenges, each, even as new ones arise. It made this bearable, and it made for a deep appreciation of the importance of the region acting together instead of kind of collectively separately. But I am encouraged about what this new board environment, the ability to work as a team, means for the future of the authority. So thank you all. It's been my privilege to spend the last 2 years as chair. And with that, I want to pass the gavel.
Yeah, let me just say a few words. Thank you, and I will echo your comments about our previous chair and that the fact you continued her record in building a new spirit of governance, in building a cooperative climate and culture among the board members. I think it's been very much to all of our benefit and to the region's benefit. I hope to continue in those footsteps. As the first federally appointed official to become chair of this authority in its entire history, I hope to carry all of the footsteps of prior chairs with an even better opportunity to look at this as a regional entity and as a issue of service of national importance as well. So I look forward to working with you. I will be in touch with each of those members who are still going to be here to talk about the committee structure and other issues. It's going to be a difficult time because there is so much change occurring. We may have some temporary times in which the current vice chairs will take over the various committees. Then as people come on, we'll figure out a way to rebalance and restructure. I certainly want to talk to each of you about your intent, the things that you would like to be doing. I think it's likely we will take advantage of the bylaw change that was made a month or two ago to spread the burden and the opportunity of committee chairs to include both principal members and alternate members. But I definitely look forward to working with you and with the staff, who I think has turned into a tremendous team that knows how to work together. I'm very happy that Jack is here to keep that going forward, and we will be, as the executive committee has been working and now the board will be working on the selection of a new CEO, who I hope will also carry forward the kinds of collaborative and collegial spirit that we've had before. So thank you very much for this challenge.
Thank you.
And it's a wonderful time.
Just maybe an interesting time. Yeah.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say my thanks to past chair Dow, the work that he's done. This has been a very, very busy past year that we've had. And the term has had lots of activities in it, and we've been fortunate having your experience and to have followed the role in that role with Mort, with all of his experience and skill. I think we look forward to difficult times with lots of guiding and steady hands. So I look forward to working with you and the board, and whoever comes on the board, I think we'll all ready to work together.
And we've been talking to some of those new members already about what they'll be doing. We hope they understand how well we work together, and we'll continue that. I understand in the normal practice we will, next month's meeting, actually formally take note of accomplishments, but they certainly have been many and varied and very successful. We will appropriately deal with that next month. appreciate the flexibility and accommodation of the AHC to postpone to another time our quarterly meeting with them. We will, over the next year, continue the practice of quarterly meetings with both the Writers Advisory and the Accessibility Advisory Committee. That's been very helpful, very useful. And we do have a Finance and Administration Special Committee session that is scheduled, and I would set that for a quarter after two. And would excuse me? Oh, yeah, jurisdiction. I didn't realize I'm already in charge. Yes. Reports from the jurisdictions. D.C.?
The District of Columbia, Mr. Chairman, has nothing to report.
All right. WSTC, Mr. Nichols.
Maryland has a good deal to report today. Yesterday, Larry Hogan was inaugurated as the new governor of Maryland to serve a four-year term. So I think we want to take this opportunity to welcome the new leadership team in Maryland, which includes Governor Larry Hogan, Lieutenant Governor Boyd Rutherford, and Transportation Secretary Designee Pete Ron. We look forward to engaging them, giving them direction on Wabata issues, and working with them to improve the region's transit system. Also want to express on behalf of WSTC thanks to Governor, former Governor O'Malley, former Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown, and former Transportation Secretary Jim Smith for their strong support in the past year. Washington Urban Transportation Commission would also like to endorse the board's recognition of Alvin Nichols, 4 years of outstanding service on the WADA board, representing both the state of Maryland, Prince George's County, and the whole National Capital Region, in particular his work as the dean of our delegation for the past 4 years. And finally, we'd like to note that we are excited to see that Mayor Bowser has selected someone from Maryland as her new Director of Transportation, Maryland's own Leif Normjo, to lead the District Department of Transportation, and we look forward to the opportunity to work with Leif that this presents us to advance regional cooperation with Director Normjo on Wabata issues on behalf of both the district and Maryland. Thank you very much. This is our new chairman.
And I know we will look forward to working with all of that team. I understand there is an effort underway to get the mayor and the two governors together to look at Metro and other regional issues, and we certainly would think that Metro would be on the top of that agenda, and we'll be looking forward to working with. I also note Pete Ron, the new secretary, an old friend from two previous assignments that he's had, and he'll bring some really good managerial skills that will benefit the state of Maryland and all of us. Report from Virginia. And yes,
one thing from Virginia. I failed to mention earlier, Mary alluded to the fact when I came on, it was the first time that the governor had appointed someone. And I just wanted to say for the record that Bill, Kathy, and Mary have been tremendous colleagues and teammates, and I felt really part of this team, and I want to publicly thank you for that. And I think we worked together well for United Virginia Front, so thank you publicly for that. Appreciate it.
And there is no federal report. With that, if there's no other business, I will adjourn the meeting. 2:15. 2:15.